You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you will, look at Luke 18, verses 15 through 17, a sermon we always have right before Bible school about children being a blessing. Some people were even bringing infants to him so he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Verse 17, it says that Jesus, however, invited them, "Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, whoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child," not a seminary professor, not any kind of a degree, not anybody well read, but just believe like a kid, you know, will never enter it. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from us, personally us. Collectively, yes, but personally, I love you, Father. And then let your heart be grateful and thankful who he is, what he does, what he leads you to, even how he reveals truth to us. Let's give thanks. And then we pray for other people overlapping in our lives. Some are grieving. Some are hurting with disease and illness and injury and seasonal sickness. And some just carry just a lot of emotional weight and woundedness in their life. Some need spiritual direction. Some need just a financial redo or a remake in their life. Some need just Christian friends who will speak truth into their life. You know people who fit those categories. Pray for them, lift them up to our Heavenly Father. We go from praying to others to praying for the nations. Pray for the unrest in the Middle East. Pray for the peace to come to the war between Russia and Ukraine. Continue to pray. Don't give up on that. There's people who've prayed for years and then seen the movement of God. And we just have to trust that. All we can say is just let's be found faithful praying in desperation. Pray that God will sweep nations. He will move. We pray for our nations, that our hearts would turn to him again. That our prayers and our faithfulness and our service will help to bring movements of God around us. We pray for that, God. Just do it again, what you've done in the scriptures and just recent history of your movements, Lord, among people. Just continue to do it again. Would you take a moment and pray for the people who are around you today? They may be family, they may be friends, or you may not even know them. Pray a blessing over them today, those who are literally standing around you. Pray for your family, wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over them. And then pray a blessing over our offering today. You gave personally to the storehouse, or you did it electronically, either or, their offerings. We exist to advance the gospel and the kingdom. That's why we're here. It's what we do, and you invest in that. Ask the Lord to bless your gifts. And then we remember there's a greater offering here than money, and that's you. We say in the words of Isaiah, "Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here we are, send us and use us." Help me to be a plain preacher today, Lord, so plain a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater and more strict judgment than anybody in the room, and I know it. and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's really good to see you today. As you know, we're starting Vacation Bible School, and usually the Sunday of Bible School, I just give us all a pretty decent reminder about children being a blessing. And even in the passages that I gave you in Luke 18 of him loving kids, I want you to know that it's more than just a childhood song. It is absolutely scripture, and it absolutely becomes the mission of Jesus. And you'll see that in some scriptures we use today, how he not only intends to bless your generation, but he has intent to bless the generations that are beyond us. So we're going to be handling scripture today, and then later on we're going to be having a specialized prayer time for Vacation Bible School, and I'll guide you in that. Just a reminder that children are a blessing, they're not a burden. Not a burden. We're going to deal in a moment of how we can think they are burdens, and even how the Lord works in giving us the truth that they are not. But they're blessings and not burdens. Now, Derek, you're probably going, I don't know, Pastor Jeff, if I agree with that they're not burdens. Derek Kinder says it this way. He goes, I'll remind you, they are responsibilities, but they're not burdens. They're blessings. And as we focus on burdens for just a moment, I want you to look at Psalm 55:22. It is a psalm that really talks about betrayal, and you're going, well, what does all this have to do with children today and a reminder that they are a blessing? I think this verse reminds us that we have burdens. It's just not kids are not one of them. That you're going, hey, preacher, don't you know that I have burdens? Yeah, I know you have burdens. Even scripture speaks to it. I know our life experiences know we have burdens. But he says, cast your burden on the Lord. He knows you have them. But you know how we treat that? We treat it like the more burdens I have, the bigger backpack I need. And that's not what scripture says. It says, cast your burdens onto the Lord. And he will support you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So you and I have got to get in. We'll get frustrated because we have these burdens in our life. And again, the burdens aren't kids. They're life situations and what the world throws at us, the stress and everything that's involved with that. You and I handle burdens by giving them to the Lord. And guess who gets to see that take place? Our children and other generations. They know what you're going to do with a worldly burden, and they're going to see you cast it to the Lord. It teaches another generation. But yes, we have burdens. They're just not kids. They're not the burden. So we've got to pray a prayer and ask the Lord to forgive us for thinking or believing that children are burdens. Or for God, forgive us for thinking or believing that they've ruined our lives. Or they are cramping our style. Forgive us, Lord, that we feel like they're in the way. Whether you're a parent or you just work with kids in some capacity, that they are a distraction. You forgive me for believing they're a distraction. And here's one, you'll chuckle at this, I certainly did, that God forgive us that they cost too much. I've heard people say this, you know, and as being a pastor and getting people ready for marriage, and then my philosophy is we plan for a marriage, not a wedding. You know, a lot of people plan for a wedding, and you need to be planning for a marriage. And I have dealt with them later on in life after they're married, and they've met with me, and they have all these elaborate plans on when they're going to have kids, you know, and I know very few people that actually have lived life that way. They get to talking to me that we're going to, Pastor Jeff, we're going to wait till we can afford them. Yeah. There's no such thing. You know, there's no such thing. But forgive us, Lord, that we think they're too much of a cost to us, that they are a blessing. I recently, Julie and I got a picture of our grandson, John, and he's on his dad's shoulders, Andrew, our son. And, you know, he feels 7 foot tall. You know, he's Wimby. You know, I mean, he's just up there. And I responded back to him on the phone call the other day. I said, I know two other guys that did that. You know, it becomes remarkable of just seeing them interact and watching that happen, that it's not a cost, you know. It's you see them as blessings, and their value is beyond what they cost us as parents. It becomes just a picture of a greater value. But forgive us, Lord, for thinking these things about children. As parents, part of our forgiveness too is that we'll get to thinking they're burdens if you're self-centered. If you get angry because life's not around you anymore, it becomes around these kids and our children, and you'll get into it that it's the me, you know, I'm not able to do all the things that I used to do or have the freedom that I used to have, and it's just not there any longer. And if you're a self-centered person, you can see children as a blessing, but then we need to ask him to forgive us of that. If you're a self-motivated person, you'll think children are a burden instead of a blessing. And you're going, well, what's wrong with being self-motivated? Here's what's wrong with it. Self-motivated people don't ask for help. And I just want to tell you, you can't parent without asking for help. You know, you just can't do it. We don't need any help. We know it. You know, we know everything that we need to know. And I'm just self-motivated, and I won't ask for help. And then we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of seeing children as burdens when we're self-sufficient as parents, which means I might know I need help, but I wait, and the Lord is the last resort that I go to. Instead of going to him first, I end up trying to figure it all out on my own, and I go to him last. And you're going to see at the closing of this sermon how what he does for us as his children, and how that even gives us instruction on how to even take care of our own children the way that he takes care of us. But I want to tell you, when just in the ministry life, Julie and I have been talking a lot about this lately, is we've always had to ask for help and God to rescue us. And there's times where, you know, we as parents, and just even in our faith, that you'll get to thinking of, Lord, I've got to figure it all out, and you can't figure it out. It can come frustrating that I have to do this too. What I'm telling you, I have to do it too. And I have to go, Lord, I don't understand. I don't see the map in front of me like I need to or want to. But I have to just settle down and say, I trust you in this. I trust that you have what's best for me, even though you're not telling me about it. I know that I trust you. That's asking for help. That's asking for help that I'm trusting. When we first moved here, which actually is going to be 32 years ago, if you can believe that. Crazy. When we first moved here, our daughter Laura was very young Julie's side of the family, my side of the family, could be dog-oriented, pet-wise, and Julie's side of the family had dogs, but mostly cats. And one of our cats was named JJ, Jeff and Julie. Isn't that really original? That's really original. And we moved here, and one of the kittens there was an accident, and she lost her kitten. And so I took Laura down in the basement, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to tell her this. And so I was going to tell her about her cat. And I said, Laura, I've got something I really need to tell you, and I'm sorry about. And she looked at me, and she put her little hands in her face, and she goes, we're not moving again, are we, Dad? And I said, no, honey, we're not. But I want to speak to that for just a moment. You know, sometimes we as the parents are thinking, well, God's leading me and God's leading us, and that the kids are just being drug around like you're carrying baggage through an airport lobby, you know? and that the kids are just right behind. I want to tell you what he taught me in that situation. And the meaning we're asking for help and rescue and understanding is the Lord taught me is that God just doesn't move Julie and Jeff. He moves our kids. They're not the baggage or the extra that's just being dragged along. And he had, in every move we've ever made, he's had our children in mind the same. It's their will. What's happening with them? And guys, you can only get to that understanding by asking for help. I mean, it was like Laura's greatest fear was we were going to move again, you know, and we just really moved. And it made me realize what was really going on in her heart. Actually telling her about the cat was a little easier, you know, I mean, to be honest with you. But it made me see her heart that of how, as a parent, Julie and I needed to react to that when it comes to even the will of God. You know, we were singing that second song, you know, washed by the blood, I'm as good as new. And I've got to confess this. When I first started hearing that song on the radio, I was singing along. You know how you have that concert, you know, in the truck when you're alone and you may even have a hairbrush, you know, as a microphone. I was just singing along with this song. And my hearing, I will admit, it's not what it used to be. And so I was singing, you know, washed in the water, washed in the blood. And I was singing, I'm as good as you. And instead of saying, I'm as good as new, I thought the song was saying, I'm as good as you. And so I had to stop and go, there's no gospel in that line. You know, the gospel's not there. You know, it doesn't fit. You know, I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, and I'm going, it just doesn't fit the gospel. So it's got to be something else. And then I realize I'm as good as new. And that absolutely fits the gospel message there. Here's what we've got to understand about even parenting and even how God looks at us is that I have got to put others ahead of myself. That's the kingdom principle in the scriptures. You know, put other people ahead of you, including your own children. And I'm not saying they need to be first in a way that's not conducive for that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we have to lead from down the line a little greater. And the picture is we can think they get in the way. And we can think they're a distraction or they're cramping our style or all those things we mentioned earlier. But we've got to look and see the value in just them. So guys, when God's calling you as the parent or the guardian, just know that he's working in the lives of your kids just as much. Every move Julie and I have ever made, we knew it was just as much for our children as it was for any of us. Because God just sees those generations, and he just sees even the lives of your children. So we learn from the opening passage in Luke, don't hinder children. You know, let them come to the Lord. We can get into arguments about, well, they're too young. I get it. I hear you. But he says, don't hinder them to coming to me. You know, and not only that, to us who oversee kids or we have kids, let them see that we go to the Lord. And we may think that's a sign of weakness when the reality is it's a sign of tremendous strength. I mean, to see that for our children to see that we go to the Lord and we show them that we go to the Lord and we take them to the Lord as well. It becomes part of just our heritage in the way that we tell the gospel story to another generation by them going, well, all I can remember is my parents did this. Back home, Campbellsville, Greensburg, I've reconnected with a guy named Barry Durrett. And it's too long of a story to tell you all of it, but he and I have been talking. So he's writing all these songs about back home. And so my buddies back home been sending them to me. And there's one about Summersville, where I grew up. And it talks about Summersville Baptist, where I was saved. My dad was pastor. And I was on the phone talking to him the other day, and I mentioned his grandfather. Now, his grandfather's name was James. But I grew up calling him Mr. Booty. That's what we called him, Mr. Booty. Mr. Booty Durrett's all I ever knew him by. And he was about 6'8". He was a giant of a man, chewed tobacco everywhere he went, including church. And he sat near a little vent in the floor in the hallway, you know, in the aisle, and he'd spit his tobacco spit in that vent or on the baseboard. And he was good at it. He never got it on the carpet. He was sharp. It's kind of like Clint Eastwood, you know, spitting in that dog's eye or something, you know. And so I was talking about his grandfather, and he goes, "Man, I got to send you a song." And he sent me the song. He said, "I've not published it yet, but I want you to listen to it." And it's about Summersville Baptist, and my dad preached his grandfather's funeral, and we were talking about that. He goes, "Man, I've got," and we're talking about Leon Lewis's store back home. He said, "I got to send you this song." So he said, "Nobody's heard this song. I'm sending it to you." So I was listening to it, and in the song, it's got, and talking about Summersville Baptist, and I hear Mr. Booty sing. And he would, and he was a hand raiser too, you know, back in those days. And it just took us back. But he remembers watching and knowing that his grandfather always went to the Lord. And we would bring up things, and he would say, "I remember it like it was yesterday." And just even the actions of us, like we've been having kids come in and they've been sitting in this area worshiping with us, you know, prepping for Bible school. And I love it because they need to see us worship. And I don't have a problem with that, but they need to see us worship. They need to see us go to the altar. They need to see us cast our burdens on the Lord in Psalms that we had earlier. We show them that we go to the Lord, that we don't show them we're self-sufficient. We'll show them that we need help. Where do we go? We go to the Lord. And it becomes a beautiful thing for them to see. So here's the challenge. As parents, we quickly try to introduce our children to the world. We don't want them to miss out. We don't want them to miss out. We even teach them how to navigate the world. If we're not careful, we'll teach them how to fit into the world. And we've got to be leery of that. We've got to watch that. Because what we've got to be doing is introducing them to the Lord and how the kingdom operates and what the disciplines of faith look like. That's what we need to do. Like, this is going to sound like a preacher rule in our house, but I told our kids, if we ever do anything on a Saturday that keeps you from the gathering on Sunday, we'll never do the thing on Saturday ever again. That's right. That's right. So you can scratch that out. So can they go to sleepover? Yeah, but I'll see you early on Saturday morning. Andrew was on a podcast recently and about church planning, and he goes, "All my buddies hated spending the night with me on a Saturday night because," he said, "Dad got us up at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday because we were mobile at the middle school and they had to work and get hip set up." He said, "I never could get anybody to spend the night with me on a Saturday night." Because we start getting ready for Sunday, not Sunday morning. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
We don't get ready for the gathering on Sunday morning. We get our family ready for the gathering later, earlier in the week, to remind them we're going to gather and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to tell the world and the demon world and every other world, this is who our God is. It's what we do. It's not, "Is it raining? Well, I'm going to sleep in. Did I hit my snooze button this morning?" Absolutely. In honor of the Trinity, I hit it 3 times. Absolutely. And I had to remind myself, I'm the preacher. I got to get there. You know? So you hear me? Are y'all listening? This is what we got to do. And it's showing our kids what's most important in our lives. Some of you come to me and you go, "Hey, preacher, my kids are just drifting away." Maybe it's because you taught them how to drift away, that it wasn't important to you. And the gathering is huge. We'll even see it in a moment in Deuteronomy. I pray for words of knowledge. I just think I had one because the early service didn't get that one, okay? The second service did get that. But we introduce them to the world when we need to introduce them to the kingdom. And listen, we partner with you. Don't just drop your kids off here in expectation that I'm going to teach them the kingdom. I am going to teach them the kingdom. But we partner with you. A sermon and a Sunday school lesson didn't teach me to tithe to the Lord. Thurman Eaton taught me to tithe. It just, the church just confirmed what my dad was already teaching me about first fruit living in the Old Testament and even generosity in the New. So I heard it in the church, but let me tell you, I didn't hear it first on roller derby, and you got to be my age to get that one. If you're not our age, you're not going to get that. But I learned it from Thurman Eaton. He taught me. I remember my first day of first grade at Fort Craig Elementary School in Maryville, Tennessee. I asked for a dime on the first day of school. Dad said, "Why do you need a dime? We've already paid for your lunch." I said, "Dad, what if they take up an offering?" That was just already imprinted in my head that at elementary school, they were going to ask me to give, and I wanted to have money to be able to give to them. But my father instilled that in me. And it's not his principle. He got it from the Word of God. But listen, we partner with you in teaching your children about the King and His kingdom. It's got to be happening with you too, not just a drop off with us. If you drop them off with us, we're certainly going to do our share. But it's meant to be a partnering business with us together. We just confirm each other when it comes to the Word of God. So anyway, we partner, and I'm going to show you Moses out of Deuteronomy. And I was going through all this, and I realized all these verses were in Deuteronomy, and I said, well, Moses was on it. You know, Moses was putting all this together. And it's about how we do what we do in faithfulness to the Lord and how it goes on to children who are blessings, but what goes on to them is a blessing. So it's about this partnership. Look at Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10 for a moment. "Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen." Okay, this is your stories. "And so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live." So what do I pass on to kids? The God stories in our own lives. I pass that on to them. "Teach them to your children and your grandchildren." So does our little John, I don't think I'm going to need to read him a book at night. I am a book. You know, I've got all kinds of stories. So's Mama G. It's Papa G and she's Mama G. "Only be on your guard and watch," because you teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Verse 10, "The day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people.'" You see how that's in there? We can get into arguments about this, but in his word, he does talk about his people assembling together. "Assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on earth, and so that they may instruct their children." It's about what God's doing in our generation. We tell the stories to another generation, and they're God's stories. Look at Deuteronomy 5:29. "We strive for this heart. If only they had such a heart to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that they and their children will prosper forever." And you're going, well, man, I don't know about that second half, preacher. They prosper forever. Well, let's just focus on the first half. If you focus on your heart and being faithful to Him, I think the second half kicks in gear. And you and I will look at the second half and go, I don't know. I may have doubt about that. When he's just saying, have a heart that fears me and that keeps my commands. My heart's focused on that all the time. You're going, well, you're the preacher. No, it's because I'm a believer. And then it says other generations are going to prosper because of your very faithfulness. We strive for that. Look at Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. Again, Moses is on a run here. He said, imprint these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Bind them as a sign on your hands. This happens in Israel today, usually at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. They actually have the phylacteries, the bands on their hands. And let them be assembled to your foreheads. They have a little strap with a box on it. It has scripture just right there. It kind of looks like a CPAP machine that's in the wrong spot, you know, kind of right there on their forehead. And then it said, verse 19, it says, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you get your steps in and when you lie down and when you get up. Just share those things of the Lord and what you're taking to the Lord. Verse 20, they do this in Israel too. It says, write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You'll find that everywhere in the country. So that as long as the heavens are above the earth, your days and those of your children may be many in the land of the Lord. The Lord swore to give your fathers. But it your days and those of your children, I just want you to see, he sees past our generation to other generations, and he sees the value that we have and the value of following him and how it is then passed on to other generations. I mean, it's really, Moses is writing about this beautiful partnership that even the church and that we have with you who are parents and guardians, that we have together and just confirming the God stories that go on to other generations. I pray we can all say this in 3 John 1:4. I pray we can all say this one day. I have no greater joy than this than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I pray all of us can say that. So children are a blessing. They're not burdens. I want to remind you, they're rowdy blessings, some of them. I guarantee you, in Vacation Bible School this week, somebody who's leading an adult is going to look at another leader and go, you're going to have to watch that one. Or you may have to watch those. And we may realize that some boys don't need to team up. You know what I'm saying? This doesn't need to happen. Are we going to have those conversations? We are. But I want to tell you, we see them as blessings. And not burdens, but some of them are rowdy blessings, but they're still blessings. I want you to look at Romans 8, 15 through 17. And I want you to see how God sees us and how even in how he ministers to us, it is a picture of how we even minister to children. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, which we were his enemies. And then he adopted us to be his sons and his daughters, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And just hang on. Take it back there on 16. Thank you. That we are God's children. I need that reminder at times. I need that reminder that the world doesn't have me. I need that he has me. He very simply just reminds us and reveals to us, which is part of our thank you prayer in the pastoral prayer. We thank you for what you revealed to us, that we are his children. And when he does that, you and I have this incredible sense of worth and value. We have this value. Verse 17. And if children, also heirs. I want you to see how not only does his spirit confirm in our spirit that we are his. Watch what happens in this verse. And if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now wait a minute. I mean, I love the Lord. And I hold him in high esteem. Here lately I've been singing that song, Majesty. Majesty. It's okay for me if the Father gives his Son, my Lord, a little more than he gives me. I don't have a problem with that. But his word says he doesn't do that. He says that we are co-heirs with Christ. We all listen to our Heavenly Father here for a moment. That everything he intends to give Jesus, he intends to give you. He's not going to give you a notch below what he gives his son. He's going to give you what he gives his son. I mean, what a heavenly father is that? How do you turn your back on that? And I'm fine if he gives Jesus more than he gives us. But he says, you're a co-heir with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. It becomes a beautiful passage to see how he treats us, excuse me, his children, and that we treat children ourselves, because he gives us a sense of value. And what do we do with kids, our own kids and other people's kids? We give them a sense of value too. We don't see them as burdens. We see them as blessings, rowdy blessings, but they're still blessings, and their value to him, their value to us. May you not only live in faith in your generation, but may you pass on your faith. I go to the Lord. I don't know anywhere else to go. And may you pass that on to other generations and descendants upon you. Tell the God stories of what you've seen him do to your own family. We're going to pray. We're going to go to work here, okay? Work's not just going to be tonight when we get to Bible school through Wednesday. But we're going to go to work here. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray about children in Bible school. We're going to pray about the families they represent and they come from. In the early service, I looked out over the service, and there's a family that I met in Bible school. And we saw them baptized, and their family has been baptized. They've come to the Lord, to know the Lord. All become of an introduction. Some of you all brought them to Bible school. It was just a simple invitation. And you know what? We loved on them with value and concern and worth. And we loved on them. And we saw God begin to open up their hearts and work in them. That's what we continue to do. So we're going to pray for children and families. We're going to pray for our leaders, our workers, all during Bible school. And I almost brought the card, but I didn't. But we're going to pray for flexibility. There's forecast of rain, and we I know what we're going to do. We're going to pray that doesn't happen, but if it does happen, we'll be fine. You know, we'll bend, we just won't break. Okay, we'll be flexible when it comes to that. So if it's up to your posture, if you want to stand and pray, fire on it. If you want to come to the altar, you can. If you just want to sit there, you can. It's up to you. But let's just bow before the Father, okay? This is not the invitation. This is a prayer moment. And we're going to pray for Bible school and what we do, how we love on kids. Let's pray for children. Let's start with, don't be praying all God be with all the children. I don't want that kind of prayer. Pray for children that you know, even your own, who will be there, whether they're working or whether they're attending. Just let's just begin there. If you know of children that are coming to Bible school, pray for them. Pray for their families. Let's just take a moment in the silence of that. Let's lift them up. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in their life, the lives of kids and the lives of parents. We're not doing this just because it's meeting a calendar event of our church year. We're doing this for children and their families. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be so thick that we feel him in our souls. I mean, when they turn in off 127. I'm all for 127, but I'm more for this campus too. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit is so thick they sense it when they drive on the property. Pray for our teams and our leaders and our workers and our helpers. Pray for us that we'll be, first of all, that we're going to be flexible. May they see us. Would you pray that they, the children and other families, see us as a bigger family, as a team that just overlaps, and we're here to help, and whatever plan A, B, or C we got to do, that they see us working in unity and harmony together that only the Spirit of God can put together. Pray for our leaders and our team leaders and our workers and our helpers. That we just, all of us have this, the spirit of excellence and a hospitality spirit within us. And just pray for our flexibility. We'll bend, we're not going to break. We'll figure it out, which means we're going to trust Him. We're just going to trust Him in these situations. Father, I pray a blessing over our church, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit just runs thick. Lord, it's just sensed by the believer and even the unbeliever, Lord. They sense Your Holy Spirit. And it's Your Holy Spirit that brings unity and harmony to us and multiplication. Highlight, Lord, the eyes, not only our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes to people that You are highlighting, that we can just spend extra time to, another conversation with. Lord, we just trust that You'll highlight that. And if people who are in need, in whatever capacity, that we'll be able to see that and then attempt to be able to meet that. I just pray blessing over it, Lord. I pray blessing over the children and their families and our team leaders and our workers and our helpers and all that, Lord. I pray blessing over all them. May they just see a family that loves You and loves each other and is just welcoming and hospitable. I pray that. And Lord, we trust You in all situations. We thank You. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. We're going to give a formal invitation. You may want to be prayed for, with, or over. We're going to give you the opportunity to be able to do that. You may want to come, and today is the day that you surrender your life to Christ, or it's just the day of surrender and renewing a covenant that you've made with Him. Just know the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. So, church, I'm going to have you stand if you'll do that. The team's going to lead us. Counselors, we ask that you find your spot. And you're welcome. You come.